Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, please, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6. I was sitting in a speech class a couple semesters ago, and Mrs. Mason, our grammar and speech teacher at the college, was asking us guys, it was an all-guys class, and she's like, what do you guys do when the preacher gets up there for chapel, and he starts, and he goes on and on and on about his thank you and how thankful he is for the opportunity to preach or anything. And we were honest, and we were like, we don't listen. Like, we're already tired, and we kind of tune it out. And she's like, right, so don't waste your time. And I was thinking, I'm like, okay, like, you can't say thank you. You can't say thank you. But then I realized, I'm like, I'll feel really guilty the whole time if I don't. So I am thankful for the opportunity that Pastor has given me. I'm still trying to convince the nerves in my stomach of that. But I am thankful. And, you know, whatever Dr. Lucan says about me is probably not true, because any tremendous preaching comes from my mother. So I get it from her. That's where I've been trained. She actually probably is watching, so I'll be in trouble after this. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we'll be in a couple minutes. The title of my sermon today is All or Nothing. All or Nothing. Do any of you possibly struggle with, every once in a while forgetting something? When I was younger, especially in high school, you know, I was proud of the fact that I never forgot anything ever. And then I got to college in Greek class, and my brain aged about 40 years. And so now I'm starting to comprehend. You know, all of us have something that's probably special to you that every day, if you're leaving the house, you need that item. I know for me, if I leave the house without a watch on, I don't feel dressed. I don't feel complete. My dad, when he's going to preach or whenever he's wearing a suit, he has to have a mini pen about this size because it makes him feel taller and tracks in this pocket. My mom needs her purse and a Bible to spank us boys across the head whenever she feels like it. We all have those things that are important to us, and it's horrible when we forget those things. Gentlemen, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but I know on those few occasions when I have to take a change of clothes with me, maybe it's church later that day after some work, and you shower and you get dressed and you realize, I don't have a belt. Some pants, that's okay. Sometimes you feel a little awkward without it, and that's a horrible feeling. I know my little brother once, the one right under me, dad was preaching at a church. But it was a revival night, and so all day we were out with the pastor's family, we were in casual clothing, and we got back to the hotel, and we were going to change for the evening, and this brother realized that he forgot his dress shoes. So he's in his nice suit and neon orange sneakers that night. This was a great image, very applicable to my family. One other story, when I was much younger, I think I was 5 or 6, we were back at my old church in Michigan where my dad was a youth pastor. And now there's a conflict in the story. My mom says this was in the dead of winter, which is why she has an excuse. I think it was in spring. So there's a conflict there, but of course I'm right because I'm telling the story. Anyway, we had a large building, and we had 2 parking lots separated by a playground. My dad's office and his car were on this side, and my mom's car was on this side. She was helping the senior pastor's wife decorate, get ready for Sunday. Dad was finishing up some stuff for a Sunday school lesson or whatever. Dad comes out of his side of the building, and he yells out to me. He says, hey, do you want to come home with me or mom? And I'm playing on the playground, so I'm like, I'm going home with mom. He gets in his car, and he takes off. Mom comes out maybe 10 minutes later. She starts loading up. She has my little brother, and I'm like, okay, she's going to call me. I'm going to get the 10 more seconds I can out of playing. She gets in the car and leaves. I'm traumatized at this point. And you have to understand, I'm at the playground, her car's over here, so that's already about 500 feet. And then the driveway out of this building was so long, it was at least a football field long. Again, I'm a 5-year-old, so maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was an eternity. I start booking my little blonde body, and I am screaming, just yelling, begging for my mom to find me, and she never once sees me. I got within maybe 10, 15 feet of the car, running down the driveway, never once saw me. And yes, I still blame her to this day. So I'm not too bright. I got to confess that. And she turns out and she starts heading down for our house. And being the brilliant child I was, and knowing that my senior pastor and his wife and daughter were in the church, I started walking home. About 5 minutes into my walk, some teenage girls from the church picked me up, and they had pizza, and everything was great. They called my parents, and they said, "Hey, did you forget something?" I don't think they knew that they had forgotten me yet. All that to say, we all struggle with forgetting stuff sometimes. But there are some things that we cannot afford to forget. Ephesians chapter 6, if you're there, please. Ephesians 6, we will start in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We remember what is important to us. Today, I'd like us to see that we must remember that we are in a daily war and that we are required to give our all in the fight. Let's pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church and this church family. Pray that you would help me to say just what you want me to say. Help me to communicate well. And Lord, help us all to take something from this that we can apply to our lives to be in a better relationship with you. In your name I pray, amen. Today I'd like us to look at three factors that we must remember about our daily war. First, I see that we have a command in verse 10. Verse 10 starts off with the phrase, "Finally, my brethren," finally. This was the last set of instructions for the Ephesian church from Paul. You know, we as humans, we save the most important stuff for last. As a speaker in speech class, you're instructed on the fact that your audience remembers how you start and how you end. The final words, the finale, is always reserved for important things. And this is something important for us to learn. He continues the verse, "Be strong in the Lord." That phrase is, it's an imperative phrase. It's a command. It leaves no wiggle room. It doesn't say, at some point, become like this. It says, be. It's a here and now that we must accept. These two phrases, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might," at first I thought that's the same phrase, it's just repeated. But after looking at it, I think there's a slight difference. Be strong in the Lord. Being strong, we as humans are strong in things. Often it's our opinions. We have different abilities that we're strong in. A man could sing in the choir, and maybe he has the potential to sing both tenor and bass. However, he's probably stronger in one than he is in the other. Maybe you're a sports fan, and you like football. Someone can play offense and defense, but they're probably stronger in one over the other. We are not supposed to be strong in our opinions, in our desires, but we are to be strong in and about God. Often, I know, I'm an opinionated male. I'm very strong about my opinions, okay? My food is good and your food is not. My team is better than your team and the Buccaneers stink. You know, that's all there is to it. And so does Tom Brady. But anyway, we're often very strong in our opinions, but how strong are we in God? How strong are we about God? So we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. But next, we're supposed to be strong in the power of his might. So we're strong in God, but we're also strong because of God. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Exodus 15:2, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God." How often do we forget every bit of our strength comes from God? Honestly, how often do we forget that? We would literally not exist without him. He controls our next breath, our next heartbeat, our next step, or the lack thereof. We too easily forget who is in control. We shake our fist at God by simply refusing to acknowledge him as our single source of strength. I know I'm guilty of this all the time. Every morning when I wake up, do I thank God for the fact that I woke up? For the fact that I can get out of bed and go to Greek class? Do I thank him for that? We forget who is in control and who has the power. But when we remember, when we remember that we have God as our strength, we can't imagine what he wants to do with us. Think of all the men that we revere, that we think, God, you use them in incredible ways. Think of men like Mr. Moody or Charles Spurgeon or Adoniram Judson or William Carey. These are men that we look back and say, God used that man in incredible ways. But those men didn't see themselves it that way. Mr. William Carey didn't look at himself and say, yes, I am William Carey. I am the William Carey. In fact, we have evidence, we have documented papers showing us that some of these great men that we respect went through some of the hardest times, went through bouts of mental depression. It's probably the only way we could describe it. But these men were willing to be used by God because they knew where their strength came from. I heard recently about an older gentleman, and he was talking to a group of younger guys and trying to teach them. And he made a phrase, or he said a phrase, and I disagreed with it. His phrase was, he said, you guys are no Adoniram Judson or William Carey. I think we're the two men that he used. I understand what that man was trying to communicate, but Adoniram Judson was no Adoniram Judson to himself. In the same way, you and I should not be, we should not look at ourselves and say, I'm the next Spurgeon, or I'm the next whatever, because we're not. But God wants to use us. And with God, we can do great things for him. So we're supposed to be strong because of God. And next, we put on the whole armor of God is the next phrase of the verse. Armor is something that you place on the outside. I hope you know that. So next time you're getting dressed, if you put it on the outside, it generally works better. We should be clothed in God. The first thing that people see when they look at us should be God. Men look on the outward. So what we should want them to see is God. All of our external parts should be clothed, should be bathed in God, in the Bible. It should be so obvious whose we are. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we don't look like the world, it'll be obvious that there's a major difference in us. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. I know I'm about to use improper grammar, so forgive me. We should not only not look like the world, but we need to look like Christ. We need to walk after Christ. Not having the negative in our life is not good enough. It must be replaced with positive. We have several of us from the college have a friend. His name is Isaac, and starting June this past year, in the fall semester, he started a workout program for all the guys. He got into it over the summer, and so now he had some classes, and he was getting everybody into it. And so, you know, we hear a ton of illustrations now about how buff and incredibly manly he is, and all these guys are. And he's a great guy. But we hear all these illustrations, and, excuse me, I lost my place. I'm sorry. We hear all these illustrations, and I was talking to him. I was trying to work on some exercising and eating more healthy and stuff. And we were talking, and it's not good enough to just replace the bad food you eat. If someone has a steady diet of bad food, yes, it's good for them to stop that. But if they don't replace it with good, they're dead. It doesn't work to just get rid of negative in your life. Positive must be the replacement for it. So we've seen that first we have a command, but next I'd like us to see that we do have a concern. The last part of verse 11 says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a major reason that we need this armor. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Have any of you actually spent time, maybe lately or a while ago, but actually considering how strong the devil truly is? The past several months, maybe this for the majority of this school year, God has been challenging me specifically to look at how real the truth in Scripture is. How it's not just fluff. It's not just fancy words on a page. But the things we read about are true. They're reality. The devil is a strong individual. He has capabilities beyond ours, beyond my ability, beyond anyone, any of the strongest people we know. He's a very strong individual. The next phrase of verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against something that we can handle or that we're used to or have the human methods to take care of. We're fighting against something beyond ourselves. This is just a side note, but we're also not fighting against other people. My dad and I, over Christmas break, were able to go through a book together, the book Stand by Dr. John Getch. It was a phenomenal encouragement and a big help, but one of the illustrations he uses is he talks about how, you know, the wind blows the trees and the trees move, and that's what we see. So we focus on the trees. But the source of the movement is the wind. So often, and I'm guilty of it, we get so caught up in looking at the people that are hurting us or that are against us. We focus on the negatives of those people and forget about the fact that there's a source that we're actually fighting against. We're not fighting against politicians, against even our current president. None of those people are our enemy, and we shouldn't treat them like that either. We're fighting against the devil and his power. Next in verse 12, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The language used here describes different levels of strength, and these levels of strength far exceed our own. What we're up against is something we don't know how to comprehend. The devil and his forces are strong. He has power in ways we simply don't understand. When you think about it too long, it gets discouraging. It gets scary, honestly. But we know that's not where it ends. So we have a command, and we do have a concern. But at the end of all that, I want us to see the culmination of everything. Verse 13 starts out, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. This phrase, the whole armor of God, it's repeated twice within the span of only three verses. I don't know about you, but when something is repeated, maybe it's an announcement by pastor on Sunday or when I was 10 by mom, it's important. Repetition means something is important. So obviously this is vital for us. Partial armor is an incomplete defense. When we don't have it all, we are not who we should be. If we're missing an element of this armor, we can be a hindrance instead of a help. We've all heard the phrase probably multiple times, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. We must be a complete Christian. We can't put levels of importance on this armor that God has given to us. They are all equally important in this battle that we're facing. Next, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. When we have the armor, then we're capable of fighting back against the enemy. We can be prepared. And having done all, to stand. The last phrase of verse 13. Once we've done our part, once we've taken care of our responsibilities, of making sure we've addressed all those parts of the armor, and we have them in check, once we've done that, God promises to take care of the rest. We're not fighting the devil on our own. Praise the Lord, we are not fighting on our own because we can't. But when you compare the devil's power to God's, it doesn't exist. God is so much more powerful than the devil could even dream of being. Yeah, the devil's more powerful than you and I, but his power is non-existent in comparison to God. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." God promises to fight with us and for us. We must do our part, but when we do, we are guaranteed the ultimate victory. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." We serve an incredible God whose strength far surpasses the devil's. You know, I mentioned, have any of you thought about the devil's strength? Have any of you recently thought about God's strength? That's an encouragement. It's indescribable. God is so powerful, and he wants to help you out personally. We started this message, and we're joking about forgetting things. However, these are topics that we cannot afford to forget. We can't forget that there's a command that we need to obey. We can't forget about the concern we have. We do have an enemy who's fighting against us. But when we apply everything we're supposed to do, at the end we see the culmination of God's plan. And we can take comfort in that. We must remember to be constantly fully clothed in the armor of God. We must remember that we have a powerful enemy, but we must also remember the victory we are guaranteed through our all-powerful God. I'd like to close with a letter. It's a letter from a young Communist Party member to his fiancée, explaining why he felt compelled to break off their engagement. It starts like this. "There is one thing about which I am in dead earnest, and that is the socialist cause. It is my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife, my mistress, my bread and my meat. I work at it in the daytime. I dream of it at night. Its hold on me grows, not lessens as time goes on. I shall be in it the rest of my life. When you think of me, it is necessary to think of socialism as well, because I am inseparably bound to it. Therefore, I can't carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even a conversation without relating to it this force which both drives and guides my life. I evaluate people, books, ideas, and notions according to how they affect the socialist cause and by their attitude toward it. I've already been in jail because of my ideas, and if necessary, I'm willing to go before a firing squad. A certain percentage of us get killed or imprisoned. Even for those who escape these harsher ends, life is no bed of roses. A genuine radical lives in virtual poverty. He turns back to the party every penny he makes, above what is absolutely necessary to keep him alive. Radicals don't have the time or money for many movies, or concerts, or T-bone steaks, or decent homes, or new cars. We've been described as fanatics. We are. Our lives are dominated by one great overshadowing factor, the struggle for socialism." The author who gave that letter in their book goes on to say, "The example of those devoted to the cause of communism prompts those of us who claim to believe the truth to examine our own level of sacrifice and surrender. Is our relationship with Jesus Christ the center of our existence?" For us, this decision needs to be all or nothing. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the truth in your word. Thank you that you are stronger than the devil is. God, I pray that you'd help each of us to remember these important things in our lives. Help us to remember to obey your commands. And thank you for the power you offer us. In your name I pray. Amen.